Legal Tuesday with Joe Stanley, the morning mess on demand at 95X.com.
Morning mess. We are Marty and Shannon. This is 95X. We welcome Joe Stanley back in the studio for Legal Tuesday, brought to you by the Stanley Law Office. And Joe, real quick, how can people reach you at the Stanley Law Office?
Sure. My email is joe@stanleylawoffices.com. Our website is stanleylawoffices.com, and it's 1-800-608-3333.
Direct line here, 315-421-9595. You're on with Joe Stanley. What's your question?
Hey, Joe. Question for you is, me and the ex-girlfriend, we decided to split up. We own a property together, and we lease a townhouse together. She wanted me to walk away from everything, so I did. I turned around and left everything, furniture, appliances, the whole nine yards. I never filled out a lease or signed a lease agreement or even paid a rent check through the townhouse. But she forged my name, social security number, and my work information on the application. But she's the tenant. I'm a co-tenant. Am I responsible for that townhouse if she walks out of there? Because I was asked to leave and I left, even though I'm not the actual tenant and I never filled out anything or signed a lease.
All right. Well, that's an interesting question. First of all, why you walked away? That's a different story for a different time. Did you actually live in this townhouse?
Yeah.
Okay. So you lived there, and did you help pay for the rents?
I actually gave her money for every single bill because she hasn't had a job for the past year and a half, or her son. So I paid for all of it, except for nothing ever came out of my bank account with my name on it.
Okay, well, you're going to get sued, and the question is going to be, at least in my mind, is did she have the authority to sign your name? When we say forged, that means without your permission or without your knowledge or without your implied authorization that she went ahead and did it, and that if she had, in other words, or if she had asked you, would you have said it was okay at the time when she did it? And that's a question when you get into court. Now, if she just went ahead and did it without your permission, put you on a document, and you didn't get any benefit from it, obviously you wouldn't be responsible. This is a lot more, you know.
Should he contact a lawyer right now, Joe?
Well, if she hasn't moved out, you don't worry about it. Hopefully she's still paying. But if she doesn't have a job and you're not paying anything anymore, it doesn't sound like she's going to be taking care of these responsibilities, which is...
Oh, she's back. She's back to work now. She took both properties over. And like I said, I just left everything behind.
Well, I would wait. I mean, if your name's still on the one you own, you can't really walk away unless you signed it over. And if there's a mortgage on that, the banks don't let you do that. But I would wait and see what happens. And then talk to a lawyer if you get sued, if she does not pay the rents. But until something happens, I just keep my fingers crossed.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yep, bye.
Let's see here. Okay, you're on with Joe Stanley. What's your question, sir?
Hi, guys. My mother has a couple trees that need to be taken down. They're not near the house or anything like that, but she wants somebody that's insured. But I have a friend that can do it, like, for real cheap. Is there some kind of contract we can make up so, you know, in case someone get injured or something like that, you know, they sign it, we sign it, some kind of deal?
Well, like you can have a contract and make them, you know, if you're not participating in the work and they're going ahead and doing the work, they are legally responsible for, you know, having workers' comp on their own employees and being insured. The problem is that if they create some harm, I mean, your mother has the right idea. Tree is dangerous stuff. And I've, over the years, a lot of bad things have happened to both people and property because if you're not sure about what they're doing with trees. But you can go ahead and hire the guy. He's already responsible. I mean, you can have a simple contract saying he's 100% responsible for everything that arises out of this. He's got to use his own equipment, use his own employees. And, you know, we're not responsible for anything he does. The law, of course, is pretty much in your favor as long as you don't direct control or provide any ideas for him about how to do this. But I just think it's a bad idea about if he does do something wrong, your mother's still liable to get sued anyways because if this guy doesn't have any insurance at all and tree work is dangerous and really I think you really should hire somebody who knows what they're doing and has the right insurance and pay the extra money. How's that?
All right.
I mean, okay. Because if something bad happens, you're going to feel bad. And if this guy falls off the tree and hurts himself or one of his employees gets hurt, these things really are not, those are not minor injuries when you're involved with trees. They're just not. They're always usually bad.
And thanks, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. Good luck to you guys, okay?
Yep, thanks.
All right, thank you. 315-421-9595, direct line to the studio. This segment's brought to you by Stanley Law Office. Joe Stanley is here, Legal Tuesday on The Morning Mess. Don't go it alone. You can contact Joe at the office. And, Joe, how do they do that?
Sure. It's StanleyLawOffices.com. My email is joe@StanleyLawOffices.com and 1-800-608-3333. And, you know, that's a question. You could always hire somebody to come and work under the table on your property, and you're probably not going to get sued if something goes wrong, unless it really goes wrong. But
you got to be careful.
If you're going to go ahead and do that, make sure you have lots of homeowners insurance coverage just in case. But, yeah, and people do it all the time. And
I'll throw this out there, too. I was just telling Joe this when, you know, I knew that the guy was going to ask that question. I mean, there was just a logging accident yesterday where a gentleman lost his life cutting trees down. And yeah. I mean, it happens. I mean,
hundreds and thousands of pounds of wood crashing down.
Yeah, it's dangerous work. And but, yeah, I mean, it goes with any kind of work, though. People are always hiring uninsured contractors to come or, you know, even a friend. The problem is something goes wrong with a work, it's not done right. There's all sorts of issues with having either acquaintances.
Without the
friends,
proper insurance, you put yourself in a bad situation.
Do they really know what they're doing? You know, are they a legitimate business? If you have somebody do work who's a friend of a friend or whatever, do they even know what they're doing? Do they have the right equipment?
Oh, we got a bad injury here. They want to know if the landlord is responsible with homeowners insurance for the injuries, or is the tenant. It was the tenant's dog that bit her daughter. She was actually hospitalized for several days, had several surgeries to repair skin grafting on the left knee area. She missed several weeks of school. She's been taking physical therapy. She's got considerable scarring on the outside of her left knee and upper thigh area. Also some deformation. She's only 9. So who is responsible?
These are terrible cases, and they happen all the time. Well, the owner of the dog, and again, the law in New York is kind of crazy with dogs. You have to show that the owner of the dog knew or should have known that the dog had dangerous propensities. And that's illegal. There's a lot of legal baloney there. We could talk about it if we had to. So the owner of the dog is responsible in that sense. Okay. The landlord is only responsible is if they know with good knowledge or should know that there's a dangerous dog on the property and has caused problems. Generally, those are very, very difficult cases. And uninsured dog bites for tenants, terrible. Oh, they're just awful cases. I don't know how many I've had over the years, and it's awful. This sounds like an awful case. And it requires a lot of investigation, and you have to talk to people and hope they're honest.
So should they contact a lawyer now?
Well, they should. That's a bad, bad injury. It's a 9-year-old, and those are things you should...
It looks like it's been months of surgeries and therapy.
That's something you have to investigate, but the answer may not be good. But we do that all the time. We spend a lot of money investigating, and we find out that the owner of the dog doesn't have anything, doesn't care about it, and that the landlord, you can't prove it.
That's too bad. 315-421-9595, direct line to the studio. You're on with Joe Stanley. What's your question this morning?
Hi. One of my friends, she originally lived in Rhode Island when this happened. She was bit by a pit bull. The guy who owned the pit bull was on vacation and had a friend watching the dog. Now, the friend who was watching the dog, it turns out he had $150,000 worth of umbrella insurance. The owner of the dog had $150,000 worth of homeowner's insurance. The attorney that she got here in Syracuse, New York, originally, it was one of those attorneys that they only charge if you win the case, said that they were looking at $150,000 from each people. There would be about $300,000 worth of a settlement. They found out that the dog owner had multiple issues with the dog biting people in the past.
Good.
To the point where they were going to put the pit bull down at one point. So my friend gets bit in the face with it. So she was modeling. Obviously, she's not modeling anymore. And now we're talking about a year down the road, and it keeps getting handed off to a different attorney. One attorney left, so it got handed off to another attorney. The next attorney for that firm was so overloaded with work, he passed it on to a new attorney, and the amount keeps dropping, and it went down at one point to $50,000. As of yesterday, the amount dropped down to $10,000, and that's without the attorney taking his cut, and at which point yesterday they said, if you want to take it to another attorney, feel free. Now, being 2 years down the road, is it even worth going to another attorney, or should she just take the $10,000?
Well, I mean, I can't answer that because I don't know how bad her injuries. I haven't seen pictures. That whole scenario doesn't sound right to me. For instance, if she came to me, I can't handle cases in Rhode Island, and I presume the owner of this dog and the babysitter of the dog are in Rhode Island and live in Rhode Island. And so the law of Rhode Island governs that situation. So if I had this case, I would refer, if you called me up and had that scenario, I would say, okay, I know a lot of lawyers that are a member of ABOTA. It's the American Board of Trial Advocates. You have to be certified, and it's one of the top trial organizations. So I would find somebody there who handles this case, and I would then oversee it. But they would be responsible for following the laws of Rhode Island, because I don't know what the law in Rhode Island is for dog bites. I don't know how much the case is worth. I don't know what the insurance covers. Every state is different. So
okay.
I think, and I don't even know what the statute of limitations is in Rhode Island for negligence. But
right.
So if she wants to give me a call, I can look into it and see. She can describe it to me, and I can give names of a lawyers. Has anybody in Rhode Island actually handled this case, or this has all been done in New York?
It's all been done by New York attorneys.
Yeah.
There was one, and the original attorney said that they had the one insurance company they had all set that was $150,000. They were still working on the other insurance company, but then that attorney quit.
That doesn't sound right. Anyways, they just don't pay $150,000.
And every time she tells me the case, I keep telling her, I said, I don't know, something about that just doesn't sound right.
Yeah, the story doesn't sound right, and the case would have to be handled in Rhode Island. I just can't, you don't, unless the lawyers can practice in both states, it's...
Okay. I've been telling her since day one, I think you should get an attorney that either specializes in that or find a different attorney altogether.
If she wants, reach out to Joe at the Stanley Law Office, and you can look a little bit more into it.
She can give me an email and give me the facts. It's joe@stanleylawoffices.com, and the number is 1-800-608-3333.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck, and thank you. We appreciate it. All right, we're simply out of time. Joe Stanley's here. Great questions today. Wow. And that's what I mean. People have legal stuff going on, and a couple dog bites in there. It's crazy.
You never know, literally. And those are all very serious situations, too. Yeah. Really very.
Legal Tuesday and the Morning Mess, brought to you by the Stanley Law Office. And, again, don't go it alone. If you have any questions, contact Joe. And, Joe, one more time, how can they reach you at the Stanley Law Office?
Sure. My email, joe@stanleylawoffices.com. 1-800-608-3333 is the phone number. And our website is stanleylawoffices.com.
Excellent. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, guys.